Welcome to Talk the Dog, the show where we find a bone to pick and a take to give. These are not hot takes. These is dog takes. Can I talk that dog? Let's shut up and grab some tape. What is up, ladies and gentlemen? We are back for another hour here on the Film Guy Network. We got a great preview for you guys for a massive official visit weekend, as I teased you just before the break. Kirby Smart says players are being paid to uphold commitments. I think he was subtweeting one specific football coach. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that today. Georgia kickoff times announced. And, man, I don't do a lot of what in the hell kind of analysis from this show is this on this network. I don't think it's cool to take pot shots at anybody because I sometimes get things wrong. But we're going to have to talk about something tonight at the end of the local hour here. But it's a loaded one. Make sure you hit that thumbs up button. Like, subscribe, and rate, reviewing, all that good stuff. I didn't tease the Ryan Williams and Jeremiah Smith topic, even though we're going to talk about it tonight, because I think it was one of those classic misconceptions. Not misconceptions, but maybe a little misunderstanding on what was said. Mm-hmm. But let's preview this big weekend of visitors to start the local hour. Before we do that, my man Ryan Mosley committed to the University of Georgia yesterday. We didn't talk about it on the show Tuesday because it happened Wednesday. We did put a sub episode up on it yesterday. A lot of you guys watched that. We broke down his tape. I was very, very, very impressed with just how high of a ceiling of an athlete and a football player that kid is. I think he's a tremendous take from the state of Georgia. Let's talk just briefly about it, guys. Jonathan, I know we got your thoughts yesterday in the sub-episode. Kirby, we'll start with you. What did you think about the addition of Ryan Mosley yesterday?
I think it's one of these guys that immediately has that playmaker ability that you see, that you kind of have needed in your wide receiver room lately. Yeah. You've had consistent pass catchers. You've had, you know, some flashy guys, but you haven't had the we need a big third down conversion. We need a touchdown here. We need a big deep shot. I feel like he provides all of these things.
The guy is such a no-nonsense football player. Like, I said this during the mini episode yesterday. I appreciate the divaness about certain receivers. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that guys demand the football. I appreciate that you think you're a dude, so you're going to talk like you're a dude. I am very comfortable with those types of athletes. But it's also nice every once in a while to just get a guy who just wants to play ball. Just like, I don't care, coach. Throw me the ball when you want to. In the meantime, I'm going to play football. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I appreciate those types of athletes just as much as I do the superstar diva.
Yeah, and I think that can be a comforting thing to know, too, for Georgia fans with this commitment, knowing the type of recruiting class that you just brought in last year, mm-hmm. knowing that this might not be a player that is immediately inserted into the rotation as soon as he arrives on campus. A no-nonsense guy, probably going to be okay if he has to wait his turn.
Yep. So, great addition right there with Ryan Mosley. Let's preview the big weekend of official visits right now. It's a loaded group coming to town. Let's talk about the ones that I've confirmed, okay? Now, I have been told of other names. I've also been told don't say nothing about those, and I don't, okay? I don't know how other people do their business. The subscription numbers could be better over on patreon.com/BrooksAustin, but when I'm told to be quiet, I'll be quiet. So I'm going to tell you about the ones I've been allowed to talk about. Craig Dangerous going to be in town. Big, big wide receiver target for them out of Cambridge High School. Sadarian Morgan, a five-star offense or a wide receiver out of Alabama in town. Caden Prothrow, the tight end who I think they're maybe selling you might be Noah Thomas to. So I don't even know if we want to talk about him as a tight end or if we want to talk about him as a wide receiver tonight, but we need to talk about him. Desmond Green, offensive lineman out of, I believe, the state of Florida, going to be in town this weekend. Chance Gamble going to be in town. Justice Fitzpatrick, the brother of Minka Fitzpatrick, going to be in town. Jordan Smith, the safety commit. Listed as a safety, think Georgia's going to start him out at corner to start his career. Speaking of corners, Peyton Dyer going to be in town this weekend as well. This name you'll be familiar with, Thomas Davis, Jr., the son of one former Georgia legend. Safety, by the way, Thomas Davis Sr. was a safety at the University of Georgia. I think we had to clarify that today to some Georgia fans, unfortunately. Guy played safety, went on to play linebacker in the league. His son plays linebacker. We're going to show you some tape of him in just a little bit. And another one that is a massive OV this weekend. Georgia's, I think, I'm not going to say they got to lock this kid up this weekend. I think they'd feel a whole hell of a lot more comfortable if they did. Kamari Brooks, the edge out of North Oconee, going to be in town this weekend. You're battling Alabama and Texas there, I believe, for Kamari Brooks. So you better lock that one up as much as you can this weekend. I told you, there's some other ones that I know for a fact will be in town. I feel like not blowing up the spot right now. So we won't. But let's get into some of these guys that are going to be in town, guys. I just gave you the list. Who are some names that you want to talk about, you think Georgia's got to do a great job with?
I think we talked about, you mentioned it earlier, Kamari Brooks is one of these guys because of what you've seen at the position right now. There's not a lot of bodies in that room. You're kind of looking for an answer right now. It's probably not going to be any different in 2026. So being able to get a guy like that committed and signed after having a really good visit is important. And by the way, you get to stick it to Bama in Texas.
Mm. So you have three wide receivers committed right now. You think they probably take four? Because I doubt they would take – like, would they take five?
If a player like Sadarian Morgan wants in, you just let him in.
Yeah.
And you if figure somebody, out the rest. If somebody else wants to duck out because shit just got too thick, then you let them duck out.
Very valid point. But that's what I was going to say, is having both Dandridge and Morgan on campus this weekend, that seems
and you
like
did
major...
take five last class.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You took a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Plus so, two transfers.
Plus two transfers. Mm-hmm. But they expect those guys to be one and dones.
Yeah,
I think they expect Noah Thomas and Zachariah Branch to be on campus for one season.
Yeah.
Or at least you have to recruit and add bodies as if they are. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you know for a fact Dylan Bell's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of bodies going out just as much.
They are losing a shit ton. So, yeah. I mean, it makes sense as to why they probably will take four or five wide receivers once again.
Yeah. You know, we talked about Prothrow being in town. I think right now they stand in really, really good positioning for the really, really talented. I think he's a four-star, but he's borderline five out of Bowdoin High School. Listed as a tight end. I don't know if Caden wants to play tight end. Mm. I think Caden wants to play wide receiver. At least everything about the profile to me says he wants to play wide receiver. When he camps a wide receiver. When he does one-on-ones at camps, he camps against corners. He does not go in there and mess around with linebackers to beat the shit out of them. No, he puts on tape that he can beat four- and five-star corners. That's what he does when he goes to these camps. When he plays high school football, he plays X receiver. When he plays defense, he plays corner. Everything about the profile from Prothrow tells me he wants to play wide receiver. He is a 4.6-ish runner, 4.58 runner. They think he can separate a wide receiver. I think it's a good thing that they signed a player like Noah Thomas out of the portal so they could turn around and sell to him. Even if we do add Mark Bowman, buddy, don't worry about it. You're going to be out here doing something different.
Mm. As I mentioned yesterday, too, like that X wide receiver spot clears out pretty quickly if Noah Thomas and Colby Young, I mean, even if they don't have big years, I mean, it's going to clear out rather quickly. So the more bodies you can add to that room,
bro,
the better off.
I'm sorry. I got to stop the show. We talked about the article with the Athletic and the quarterback dads and Donovan Dooley being quoted in said article.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan, I'm texting Donovan right now. Let's see, he got a new number and someone's trolling me. Donovan has no idea he's in an article being quoted. How does that work? Somebody explain that to me.
I mean, there can be like
extensive quotes. Extensive.
Let me figure
this
out.
He had paragraphs in that article.
Maybe it's from a video or a previous interview that was a long time ago, and someone's just trying to dig up old narratives.
I'm not trying to call into question anybody's journalistic integrity. I'm just curious how the primary quote provider does not know that there is an article in a major publication out about him calling him out by name.
Could also be that, you know, he's telling you a little fib.
Yeah, maybe he's fugazi. Let me send this to him right quick. Anyways, sorry to be derailed there. What were we talking about? The visits this weekend. Big
yes.
list.
Visits.
The Prothrow discussion.
Mm-hmm. Whether or not he actually is going to play tight end if he comes to Georgia, which would you do some sort of Brock Bowers-like thing with this? Where I know they moved Brock out to an X position a lot. They would have him run one-on-ones. They would try to manipulate because it did kind of stress your counts as a defense. If you have number 19 as a tight end, but he's lining up at the X position, that's a mismatch wherever you put him.
I think what really hindered football teams defensively was the fact that Darnell was on the field and it was a true 12.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just playing a big wide receiver and a tight end, I think I can handle that. But if you're inlining one and the other guy is a dynamic wide receiver, we have a problem.
Well, I mean, they might have that.
What have you found?
Sounds like these quotes are coming from a book It says Donovan Dooley is a prominent quarterbacks coach who counts Bryce Underwood among his clients, okay. has worked with the family for years, and noted okay. in that 2022 book written with okay. sports writer Teddy Greenstein.
So they just rehashed quotes from a book from 3 years ago and wrote an article.
Sounds like it.
Interesting.
Welcome to the off season.
I guess.
We're scraping for content.
It just seemed like new.
Well, I think it was quotes used from the book to make a new article centered around. Okay. That's how I took it, I guess.
Okay. My bad then. That's all I guess.
Yeah.
Sidarian Morgan. Should we watch this tape? I want to watch this tape. I haven't seen this.
I haven't either.
6'5", 205 pounds, out of Alabama. What high school? Alabaster? Does that sound right?
I think so.
Not Alabaster High School, but he's out of Alabaster, Alabama, I think. Let's go to the board. By the way, should be noted, great job, James Coley, even getting a seat at the table. I'm not saying Georgia's feeling good about this one. Even if they do, I don't. This is an Alabama high school football player that has very, very much so strong interest from Alabama and Auburn. Them normally ain't battles you go in and walk out with a dub with. Okay, so occasionally there's a George Pickens in the mix every once in a while.
From Alexander City, Alabama, Benjamin
you see how
Russell.
I did the Alabaster thing. Here we go. Let's take a look at the tape. I bet it's good stuff. Quarterback is wilding back there already. We get a high point ball right here, don't we, boys? Ain't no doubt about it.
Gotta be before the half or something.
Yep.
Ugh. Lord.
Ugh. Now, all right, I know based off the profile, this dude's going to be able to high point it. I know he's big. I know he's physical. I want to see some yards after the catch stuff immediately into the tape. That look, I know we're two clips in. That's going in. I should have said that. If we're going to be a five-star at 6'4", 205, I got to see some yards after the catch, not just we winning. I almost guarantee we're going to see it because I don't doubt the ranking, okay? I don't doubt the interest from the schools that are interested either. Yeah, we're really, really good downfield. I know that. We're going to have to watch all 13 minutes of this to find the answers, aren't we?
Probably.
Might not ever have an answer. If you got a guy who's going to win 50-50 balls that much,
matter.
They're probably not going to stress too much of,
it
hey, let's get the ball.
It doesn't matter in college. It will matter in the NFL. Whether or not you can separate in the NFL matters.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
See, like, we're in a scramble drill. Okay, we're high pointing that as well. Like, I know we're elite at this. I know.
It's going to be another fade, right?
Yeah, it's going to be another big ball. Oh, no. Here we go. Here we go. Show me something here.
Yeah, I don't need to. Good blocks.
Yeah, good blocks out there. This kid must be hell in the 7-ons, in the 1-on-1s. See, like, we're not, we pulled off late there.
He got pushed off late.
Yeah.
It's just bad corner play.
And we're in the, okay. Usage is important. We talk about it all the time. Look, I know I'm sounding negative already. I can feel myself. I'm trying to be positive. But you're in here, not out here. Now, it might be because this guy's limited. Maybe he can't throw out here. But y'all see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We look at usage of players when we look at this. How's your high school coach using you? He's putting you in the slot. Again, I think it's probably because maybe you're RPO heavy, and here we are with an RPO double move. Back shoulder. We separated some there.
Rocco in chat said him and Jared Curtis will be on the same 7-on-7 team.
Yeah, when is that 7-on-7 tournament? That's that OT7 thing.
Here we go.
Going on.
Here's on and on.
I'm not super excited about covering OT7, but I will if I have to go. It's the only way I'm going to see Curtis. All right. You know what I'm going to do?
It's very clear the offensive mentality of this team is, just let him get
Sidarian's down there.
Let him get down the field. Yeah. He's down there somewhere.
Sidarian's down there somewhere.
It says the OT7 finals are scheduled for June 26th through 29th in Miami.
Okay, I might go down there. Damn, I don't want to go to South Beach. There's some juice right there off the line of scrimmage. You know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to go see. Is there any no track times on Sidarian? No general speed. Because if you told me this kid's running 10.98 in the 100 meter, just 10.98, if he's sub-11 at all, I have zero questions. That kid's going to be great.
It says he ran a 21.74 in the 200 meter.
That's pretty
fast.
As
recently as when?
Doesn't give me a year.
I'll look him up on Miles Split. I just – where's the – there. Am I right? Am I wrong?
I mean, it's not in the film, but the film doesn't also doesn't
– yeah, it could lie to us.
The film doesn't paint the full picture of the player. No. Like, they've camped with this kid. They've evaled this kid plenty.
Everyone has, and they come away tremendously impressed. Yeah. So –
oh, here you go.
What's up?
Top markers include 11-19 in the 100 and a 21-74 in the 200, in addition to clearing 6-4 in the high jump multiple times.
That's this
times.
Spring?
Again, it doesn't give me a year. This all is just his career best.
Probably PRs. But, I mean, still. I trust it. I don't think the absence of being able to create separation there is necessarily – and, again, separation doesn't mean as much in college.
No.
You're not recruiting this guy for the NFL. No. Let that become the NFL's problem later. You need this guy now on your team.
We can all agree that ain't nowhere near Jeremiah Smith.
No, but
probably not.
I know, but hey, look. 6'4", 205, 5-star.
Oh, I know. The top 15 player in the country.
You know what I'm saying?
I know.
I get
and,
it.
And, like, we didn't see a Craig Dandridge type of clip in there.
Uh-uh.
Of, oh, there it
That's
is.
Like, for me, no matter how big or small you are, if you are a 5-star wide receiver nowadays, you better have at least one clip where you touch the ball and it's like, oh my God, he's the most explosive athlete on the field. And I don't know if I saw that.
You might not have, but I mean.
It could be the offense. It could be a whole lot of things.
But again, we saw him get the ball immediately one time.
This is why if I were to ever actually be like, hey, Brooks has to do rankings, you bet your ass we're gonna lay eyes on every kid that's in the mix for a top 100 eval. And I'm going to need a budget to do so. So if you ever think you're going to hire me to do it, well, it's going to be expensive. But we're going to be right. I'm going to try to be right as much as I possibly can. Thomas Davis Jr., I want to watch this tape too. Because this shit was fun, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It was a whole lot, no offense, a lot more fun from my memory than what we just watched.
Big facts.
I think the both tapes were fun so far, but Thomas Davis just runs like a cyborg, dude.
So my favorite thing about this tape is, now we all know who his daddy is. I think you could show this to a non-football knower and you would, well, they'd have to know some ball. You could show this to somebody who didn't know anything about Thomas Davis but knew a ton about football and you go, hey, I think that kid's dad or somebody close to him probably played in the league because this dude's got wicked football instincts, okay? Real, real crazy football instincts. Let's take a look at it right here. This is my man's right here. Look, it's not the cowboy collar, but it's the short roll up underneath it.
Yeah.
Boom. Pick, take it to the crib. Big and long is this kid.
Insert robot sound effects.
You think he's robotic? You think he's got some robo to him?
I think that clip was.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's not bad. He's definitely got insane instincts.
Watch him rip. Give me that ball. Yes, sir.
I think this is my favorite play of his.
I always see him moving this first, is a good too. Rep. That's what I love about him. Yeah, recognize the pin and pull. Is that what you love about it, Kirby?
Yeah, recognizing that he's
just
getting
just how quickly he saw it.
Mm-hmm.
So they got a down block right here. It's pin and pull. This guy's going to try his best to down block on this freak show, and then we're going to pull some offensive linemen. So once he recognizes I'm getting down blocked from the outside, whoop, works outside, takes the ball carry. And the fit on the tackle was perfect too, Kirby. Got his head outside.
I mean, fundamentally, instinctually, insane player. Very clearly has someone who
he's committed to Notre Dame right now, right?
Yes.
This play is just a bad decision by the Q.
No doubt.
You got to see him drop into the flat.
We do crib it, though.
Oh, again, the athleticism there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you make great plays, sometimes they're made for you.
Oh, that's not a cowboy collar. Those are dreads, my man.
Are they?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does have dreads.
That might be what it is then. Let's see, we're reading three.
Breast
yep.
Cancer Awareness Week.
He's reading three there.
Yeah. I'm telling you what, the keys are going to be flawless. You know what I mean?
I mean, his eyes are always right.
Yeah. God, he's big.
Let's see if he's reading three again. Yep.
We're going to stick.
Oh!
Mm-hmm.
That kid's having shoulder surgery.
Oh! Ouchie. I love the screws face-to-face contact right there. Not leading with the crown. We're going to do it again right there. That's just squaring dudes up, man. That's no fear of contact.
Brick wall.
That's how I know nowadays whether, like, you're a quote-unquote headhunter nowadays. Like, back in the day, we saw the big clips, the stuff that gets you kicked out of games nowadays. Now, I know if you seek contact or shy away from contact by one thing. When you approach a ball carrier, do you approach with the screws of your helmet, or are you picking a side with your helmet? Okay, if you're a face-to-face contact guy, you eat screws. That's what you do. Like, you just love and seek contact. If you're one of these, I'm going to pick a side guy, you probably don't seek it like some of these other insane people. Let's watch a couple more clips. We're probably going to get another head-to-head. Now, that ball carrier decided he was going to pick a side right there.
Yeah, he did.
That's what we call a business decision. All right, what do we got next? We got some more comments on this visits. Minka's brother's in town, Justice Fitzpatrick. Obviously been on the radar for a long time. I'm sure, I would almost guarantee, that Minka speaks very highly of one Kirby Smart.
You would probably have to imagine that, having recruited his older brother and made his older
having
brother.
Having committed to Kirby, played for Kirby for 2 years, you'd imagine that guy speaks very, very highly.
Won a title with Kirby.
Yeah.
Played with Kirby for 2 years or one?
Two. 17 was his final year in college. Kirby would have been in Athens.
Right, but 16.
Just 1 year, actually. 2015 was the only year.
Kirby Smart started.
Oh, yeah, you're right, 16.
So only played for one.
But committed to him.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, definitely built a strong relationship with him.
It's probably a good thing that he speaks highly, or you would think that he speaks highly of Kirby, too, considering what his Final Five is.
Oh, the Final Five speaks expensive.
Yeah, Texas, Miami, Florida, Ohio State, Georgia. Yeah, man, that's all the heavy hitters right there.
It's going to be a rich boy.
Thick. Mm-hmm. Chat's asking about Jarai Edwards. I was told they feel good. Hey, look, when I ask Georgia, because when other people pop off predictions and they do the stuff, you guys immediately run to me and ask me my thoughts, which I immediately run to sources and say, hey, what do you think about so-and-so? What do you think about such-and-such? And the last three or four times this has happened this time of the year, the immediate answer is they feel good, but way too early. Way too early. And I don't know what to tell you otherwise. Now, when they don't feel like it's way too early, they say Ryan Mosley feels good, and then it ends up happening. So I think Jarai Edwards would be an incredible addition. I rewatched the tape today. I think he's the best safety in football right now, or in high school football. So there's that.
Yeah, I think his commitment's July 6th, something
July
around
5th,
there.
I think. Yeah,
July
5th. Today.
So definitely a long ways to go there.
Who's the favorite for Tyler Atkins? It's not Q&A today, but we'll answer while we're here. I think it's Ohio State at this moment. I think he even said his
best. Yeah, he did.
It's also important to know that it's a big OV weekend this weekend, but it's also a massive Sunday and Monday. Y'all know this. The audience needs to remember this. Every year, Georgia basically has a come earn your spot camp for all in-state prospects. That's this weekend. Starting Sunday, as soon as OV people leave, they're immediately having the are you good enough to play here camp. And every year, there's one or two names that come out of this camp and end up a commit. Several years ago, it was Ja'Cory Thomas. I know he's an out-of-state guy, but that was one of those – 5 hour radius guy. Is he good enough? Muschamp loved him. They ended up taking him. They will. I'm telling you right now, somebody out of this camp, Sunday and Monday, will end up on this roster. So it's a massive weekend. It's also important to note, I would not want to be on a college football coaching staff right about now. So they just had Memorial Day weekend, and they get a time to breathe. They get to leave. They had a meeting at Georgia. They had a meeting Friday, and they had a meeting yesterday when they got back. Yesterday was Monday? No.
No.
They had a meeting Tuesday when they got back. Okay? So they got 3 days to be a normal human being, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. From this point until July 4th, they will be 9,500-hour weeks, probably more, like 16-hour days, 6 days a week. And then they'll get a break during July 4th. They'll get a break up until SEC Media Days. They'll get to breathe slightly for 2 days after SEC Media Days. And then right after that, student support on campus. And then from that point until February, balls to the wall. Say bye to your family. We love you. We'll see you in 6 months.
Happy summer.
Yeah. Hey, but border baseline salary for most people who are working like that, six figures. So I ain't got too much complaints for you. You grunt workers putting in 110 hours a week for 35 grand a year. I respect that too, because I was once there. I think we all have to be there at some point.
At some point, yeah.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. What y'all talking about Patreon for?
People are asking about the membership.
Patreon.com/BrooksAustin. Feed my family. That would be nice. That would be nice. Some good stuff over there, too. It's not just charity. You know, it's good stuff over there. It's good stuff over there. So, yeah, you should head over there. Patreon.com/BrooksAustin. Also, a great Discord over there with a bunch of great people to hang out with. Kirby Smart been on a heater. Cooked Feinbaum yesterday.
Made Feinbaum
kind of just like turtle.
Oh, you saw that.
Master Disguise? Yes, I definitely saw that.
Mm. Yeah. You saw that?
That's a shocker coming from you.
Master of Disguise? Yeah. I've seen that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Have y'all heard the story behind that?
What, he stayed in character too long? People pissed off? What?
I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
Has to do with the tragedy.
Oh, unfortunate.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a good movie, though.
Mm-hmm.
Does it still hold up? I tried to rewatch it like 3 or 4 years ago.
Gosh, I haven't watched that movie in like 10 years.
It's all right.
The only thing I remember from it is turtle.
Am I not turtle enough for the turtle club?
Turtle enough.
That's actually a really good impression, J-Lo.
I told you I've seen it.
I believed you. I was just surprised by it.
I know. And
when he plays the, there's sharks in this water. That's a good scene, too. Cook that video game guy, too. He made that guy. Ooh, do you think that guy even knew he got cooked so hard?
I don't think the video game guy
enough to post it.
He got Kirby cooked.
Enough to post it.
That's how Kirby cooks people.
Texas got more cooked, probably.
Yeah, probably.
In that video.
That guy was like, oh, yeah. About to get views.
Now he's subtweeting Lincoln Riley?
Accusations? No,
that's what I felt like it was.
That's how I felt it. Kirby Smart told reporters today at SEC spring meetings, or this week at SEC spring meetings, that some programs are paying as much as $20,000 a month for the commitments of high school football players. So before you even arrive in college, you're getting down payments for your commitment and for your eternal loyalty. Now, I'm not saying that he was saying that USC specifically does this. However, there has been one football team and one football program over the last 3 or 4 years that has had a real propensity to let its commitment slip up out of its class.
Mm-hmm.
And now, all of a sudden, apart from one 5-star, might be doing a pretty decent job of holding it together. Now, there is a school in Missouri who can legally do this to in-state prospects.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he was calling Missouri out. I don't think he worries about Missouri recruiting. I have covered Kirby Smart enough to know that he only drops hints like this about programs that he wants to maybe have stopped doing this if they are a problem.
I thought the crazier part of the quote was talking about you get paid to keep your commitment, but if you decommit, you have to pay us back. Buddy, you are never getting that money back. Like, well, that is preposterous to think, oh, don't worry, we're going to pay them this money, but if they leave – we could be calling back and saying, oh, you got to give us that money back.
Hey,
no.
Let me get that bread back, cuz.
New number. New phone.
Who this?
Yeah. Who is this again? No way you're getting that money back.
Yeah, that money is goodbye.
Also, how would you go about doing that? Because is it legal? Are you allowed to do this?
Right?
Are you allowed to do this? It'd be like, hey, man, the drug dealer stole my money. Oh, who you going to call?
Lincoln, why you got this Venmo transaction from Justice Terry?
Yeah, what's going on here?
What's going on right here? Why is he sending you money?
Again, it's all alleged. We don't know if it's actually USC.
That's immediately who I thought of, though. That seems like
who
clear.
Else?
Yeah. And especially considering that there's been ties between their recruiting over the past couple of years. Like,
and who's loaded down with commits right now?
Yeah.
It's literally just, isn't it just them?
Is he talking about this class in particular? Or talking
LSU's
about
loaded down. They got a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Miami's pushing for a lot right now.
I think he was just speaking overall. Like
tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, yeah, I think he's just talking about
shooting
recruiting
from the hip, you know, bullshitting, as the kids would say.
Bullshit? That's not like a hip term.
He was being a jive turkey.
All right, if you want to go with that, yeah.
Call anybody JT.
Ooh.
I also saw some reporting today from Nakos about recruits getting real estate.
Mm.
In exchange for their you know, deal, which people were like, what? Real estate? People out here getting real estate? Let me put y'all on game right quick. So I don't know when it started, but as long as I've been doing this, the smart college football programs, a lot of them, would be putting assets in young players' names, especially prior to NIL. Because back in the day, you had to do it with cash in endorsements, right?
Mm-hmm.
Come to my school, I'll give you $100,000 in cash. Come to my school, I'll give you $200,000 in cash, yada, yada, yada. I don't know if y'all have ever had $200,000 in cash.
No.
But you can't do a whole lot. I know it sounds like a lot of money, but you can't do a whole lot with $200,000 cash. You can't buy a home mm-hmm. with $200,000 in cash. You can basically just buy vehicles. That's about it. Unless you're smart enough to know how to launder money, which a lot of young athletes don't know how to launder money. I would hope they don't. So back in the day, what schools used to do is, oh, so-and-so is giving you $200,000 in cash. Buddy, that's going to be really hard to wash. Here's what I'll do. We got a brand new apartment complex popping up at every college football program in the world. We'll put a brand new apartment complex in mama's name. When you leave, mama gets to sell apartment complex. Daddy gets to sell apartment complex. Now, guess who just got flushed with $100,000 in real, tangible, liquid money? Mama and daddy.
Hmm.
Real estate game been used in football for a long time. Real estate game been used in college football as long as Booster down the street got a dealership mama can show up twice a week at and get 150 racks a year. That one been going on forever. But yeah, y'all just ain't been woke.
Shout out Ben Woke.
Shout out Ben Woke.
Love that guy.
But ain't that a great play? It's like, hey, we're gonna get you a movable, tangible asset.
Yeah,
that's appreciating.
I prefer that. Appreciating.
Yeah, asset. Appreciating. That's the key word right there. You can allegedly. Make even more money.
Allegedly.
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 I feel like we've said allegedly this episode more than we ever have.
Allegedly.
Alleged. We've allegedly done that. You want to spin the wheel?
People are talking. Allegedly, I'll spin that wheel. I want me one of them jobs. Show up twice a week, get 100 racks. I'll take it. Some of you content creators are doing
it. Hey, dude, it's a smart business model.
It ain't bad.
What are we getting?
Name that bulldog.
Is that name that bulldog or crazy
That's
but
That's
going to
be name that bulldog.
Name that bulldog.
Come on.
All right, Jay, well, let's see if I can stump you this time.
You know that is the accurate English pronunciation of bulldog. It's a bulldoge, actually.
I don't believe
bulldoge.
You. That's bull crap.
From
what
bulldoge?
Correct in what country?
It's not bull crap. It's bulldoge.
Where did you see this at?
My buddy John Knight breeds bulldoges.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool.
Shout out John Knight.
Cool. All right, Jay. Well, this is a 3-star prospect from UGA's 2017 class.
Okay.
He played in Georgia's 2021 national championship victory over Alabama.
This is Latavius Brenea.
No. It's not. You're just going to keep chucking up Latavius Brenea.
I mean, might as well.
He never recorded an interception in his career, but had a career-high 4 pass deflections during the 2021 season.
William Poole.
There you go. You got it. Brooks beat you. It was William Poole. I feel like Brooks was kind of just hacking it up, but you got it.
Hacking it up.
I did not associate William Poole with a 3-star rating.
You think I just
rating.
Pull things out of my hat like bulldoze? You think I just make that stuff up?
I would
I mean,
not
it
put
sounds
it past
like
you.
You maybe didn't, but your buddy might have.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Nah. John Knight would never deceive.
I'm sure John Knight is a knight himself, but.
Shout out to John Knight. Just had his little boy, John Perry Knight the 4th.
Ooh.
Yeah. Going to go by Johnson.
Let's
I love
go.
That.
Hey. We got a UGA trivia question. Who was the last Bulldog Carson Beck completed a pass to?
Oh, my gosh. Receiver? Oscar Delp.
It was not Oscar Delp. I will give you a hint.
It would have been in a 2-minute drill.
I'll give you a hint.
Aaron Smith?
The player he completed a pass to is no longer on the team.
Aaron Smith.
It's not Aaron Smith.
Anthony Evans.
Not Anthony Evans.
It's a good guess, though.
That was a good guess. He had a pass attempt to Anthony Evans. It was
Dominic Lovett.
Nope.
Who is it?
Trevor Etienne.
Oh.
A little check off dump down.
Should have known since it was Beck.
Trevor Etienne ran out of bounds on a 2-yard gain, and then there were, 3 interceptions called back ensuing? Georgia turned the ball over three plays in a row and only gave it up once. Actually, never gave it up.
Of course, Beck would check it down in the two-minute drill. Bobo probably told him to do it, too.
Oh, here's a prompt for us. Who is the most underrated player of the Kirby Smart era?
Oh, man.
Oh, geez. There's quite a few names, I feel like.
So, I think of it differently. Like, a guy that you didn't know was as great as, like, most people didn't think of him as great as he was, in my mind, like Warren McClendon.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Warren McClendon was really, really good. High-end SEC starter for, like, 27 games at right tackle. Very, very slept on. I think a lot, like, for example, I think a lot of people in that same era love Jamari Sawyer. People, mm-hmm. people know and speak about how good Jamari Sawyer was. People don't talk about Warren McClendon. So I would go there. To me, Tyler Clark was a freak before the freaks.
Yeah.
And out like I thought it would, but I thought Tyler Clark was a really, really good football player that didn't really get the era of that winning. Who else fits in that? Monty Rice fits in that category.
Monty Rice definitely.
I was going to say, loved him. Mark Webb is a good one.
Yeah, well, Mark Webb got crapped on.
Yeah, Mark Webb, if he had like had one a couple more flashes. Yeah.
If it doesn't happen, nobody says a mm-hmm. word.
Everybody's I went Cedric Van Pran because centers never get glory like that, and the way
he was loved.
Program, dude, he was loved.
He was
he's
loved
on the board.
He's loved by us. There's bro. A difference.
He's one of the most beloved Georgia Bulldogs in the last 4 years.
Ask 100 Georgia Bulldogs fans who's your favorite player over the last 3 years. No one's saying Cedric Van Pran.
Buddy, ask the same 100 Georgia fans who was their most recent center. They'll tell you Cedric Van Pran, and then ask them who was it before him.
That's
and
fair.
Look at you with a blank stare on their face. That's how loved Cedric
I
was.
Completely understand that.
It was Trey Hill, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, that's how loved that guy was. Trey Hill properly rated.
I also think
Malik Herring. Malik Herring underrated dog.
Very underrated. Like solid underrated solid dog. Defensive end for you for his entire career.
Yes. Kept Trayvon Walker off the field for 2 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Could you throw Carson Beck in this?
I think it's too early.
Would not
to do that.
Recommend.
I think the feelings are a little bit too fresh.
I think if we get
scabbed,
five
scabbed over, that thing's still pussing.
If you get 5 years down the road, though, it's like
I mean, that's the process of scarring, Jonathan. Don't make a face.
I know.
It's biology. Don't it's, be weird.
Aaron Davis
like
is
a
an
kid who can't say penis in class. Come on, man. Don't be weird.
Penis is funny though. It's a funny word, dude. They should have named it something less funny.
You know, on the radio, you can say penis, but you can't say cock. You can't say the actual term.
Sure,
you
can.
Can't say something that's
go Cox.
There you go, Cox Media.
Yeah, see,
well, that's spelled differently.
They were the one who actually sent me the fine when I was on the radio.
Oh, really?
That's why. Yeah. Anyways, what were we talking about? Underrated dogs.
Underrated
Any
dogs.
Other ones? What's the chat throwing?
Kyrus Jackson is a great answer.
Brendan Douglas.
Not a Kirby Smart guy.
He was in the Kirby Smart era, but his top year came in 2014. So I would say.
Also,
what about like
that much, people are
Charlie Warner?
Charlie Warner's a great answer.
John Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Isaac
for some reason blocked on Twitter.
Still
though.
In the NFL.
Still blocked on Twitter. Don't know why.
Probably said something mean.
Quit
about
being
him.
So mean.
I guess. I think I'm an acquired taste. That's what. It is. You know, I'm an acquired taste. Kind of like oysters.
Ooh, DeAndre Walker's a good one, too.
DeAndre Walker's a good shout.
My favorite DeAndre Walker player is when he body slammed that Kentucky quarterback in 2017. I don't know. Very few people will remember that, but.
Yeah, I got sent a fine in the mail from a radio station in Atlanta before I got sent a paycheck. Like, how'd you even have my address?
They found you.
How'd you even know where to send a bill?
Yellow Pages are still a
you
thing.
You damn sure ain't sent a check.
Kickoff times?
Yeah, we can talk about this. I'm fine with it. Go ahead, Kirk or Jonathan, one of you.
I've got a take to deliver.
It's
on
the
this.
End of the week. You last show, best show. You got takes
on kickoff the, times?
Well, it made me realize something.
Okay. Well, in other words, there were kickoff times announced for Georgia today. And every single one of them was at 3:30. Marshall will be at 3:30. Austin Peay will also be at 3:30. Florida obviously going to be at that kickoff time. Tennessee, that's kind of a breaker there. On the road at Tennessee, that one's going to be at 3:30. And then the Georgia Tech game on Friday in the Benz, going to be at 3:30. So
honestly,
what's your take on this?
Me personally, save the take. I think 3:30 is the most ideal kickoff time.
I love 3:30.
Ooh.
For what we do, it's primo. Now, back when I was playing, if it wasn't an important game, which none of them were, I preferred to play at noon because you were hammered by 8. That's the way to be, man. That's that sweet spot. But as someone who covers college football now, it's ideal to get to the stadium, watch the first half of the Nooners, then cover a game at 3:30, and then get to watch the night games.
Yeah.
That's the most ideal situation.
Especially for how we do road trips, where we take it on back home.
Oh, but we in that, wilt, and we hauling ass watching football games. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Now, I respect the people who sit at the stadium and cover, the articles, get the articles written post-game until 2 o'clock in the morning, but my constituents ain't up reading the shit. They're either drinking themselves into a sleep or they're already asleep. So we save the stuff for the next morning while getting in the car and watching the rest of the games. Mm-hmm. That's how we
got a hot spot. We could ride the truck.
Yeah.
Hot spot's very clutch.
Mm. What's your take on this?
Come on, take me.
So I'm not going to do that. Upon the realization of the schedule, I came to a conclusion. Let me start with this before anything.
Let him cook.
I like the 3:30 slate. I think it's very good. I think it's probably one of the best ones next to, obviously, the primetime kick. And in some cases, it is better than the primetime kickoff, depending on what you're trying to do for the rest of the day. But without CBS covering the SEC and that 3:30 slot not being the quote-unquote CBS slot, I think that some of the shine and some of what made that spot so great has kind of worn off, and we're kind of getting into territory where it might be a little overrated. I still think it's one of the best. I'd rather have that over a noon kick in September. I love the 3:30 kick. I love what it stands for, but not having CBS tied to that makes it a little less fun for me.
Sir, I'd rather have the noon kick in August and September. These 3:30 kicks in August are going to be death sweats.
I mean, any time between noon and 7 in August is going to kill you.
Brutal.
It's the worst.
But at least noon, you're going to have 90 to 92 until halftime, and then 93 to 95 in the second half. You're going to get 96 swamp ass for 4 quarters.
It's different when those 3:30 kicks early on in the season are Marshall and Austin Peay. Yeah. It ain't like you got an SEC opponent rolling into town where it's like, we'll embrace the suck today. This one is
– at least it ain't Columbia.
Yeah.
You know?
Dude.
That kind of thing.
Columbia. Ooh.
I've never been.
I've been through it, and it's hot. I've never been to the stadium.
I've been told never to go. I've just been told to avoid it.
I might go to it this year, actually. I might go to the Clemson game.
I'm trying to figure out where the Gamecock fans are anyway, so maybe if you talk shit about them, they'll arrive.
Oh. Well, I heard your town is shitty.
Williams-Brice Stadium, the most overrated piece of shit in the SEC.
You think Inner Sandman's cool?
That's Virginia Tech.
Sandstorm.
Yeah. There you go.
I knew it was a sand.
Inner Sandman's better. Way
right.
Better.
Inner Sandman's way better. That's way why better. It came to my mind first.
That's a valid take.
Cool, your mascot can move its mouth with his hands. Whoop-de-doo.
Ooh, you got a cock on the field.
Dang, we just got charged again.
Cox Media is going to send us a letter.
How about dodging a night game in Neyland, though?
That's a big deal, man.
That's a checkered
game in Neyland.
First SEC game for both teams. Mm-hmm. Fans are going to be fired up, going to be rowdy. I mean, it's still a tough environment either way. But you obviously – the night games are a little better. I would like to know, what's Georgia's regular season record depending on times? Alabama was 7 last year. They lost that. Ole Miss was 3:30. That was a loss. So there's no streak going on. Was Ole Miss noon?
It wasn't noon.
Ole Miss was at 3:30.
As someone who's in the media and the robots are trying to take over part of our industry, that type of stupid question, that's where ChatGPT needs to be. And only. That's the only area of my business I need.
Why is it got to be a stupid question?
Because it's not stupid. It's random. And the idea that I would run down the stat or know it is ridiculous. The only person that would know that is a fucking robot. So a robot needs to answer that question. Hey, what's Georgia's record depending on TV start time? Boom. Robot spits it out. Apart from that, keep the robots the hell away from me. Amen?
All right. Well, the last regular season game they lost prior to that was 2020 against Florida. That was a 3:30 kick.
I think the last time
2020 against Alabama was a 7 p.m. kick. In 2019, they lost to South Carolina. That was a noon kick.
I was going
to
say, I think that's the last time they lost a noon game.
Am I ChatGPT? Am I AI?
Is it me?
Am I even on set right now?
Who knows?
This would be a good time for you to add like a disappearing effect.
I mean, I think I know more about robots sometimes than you.
What makes you say that?
I don't know. Is it just,
nerd off. Let's see.
I don't think it was a nerd comment. It was more of a, sometimes he's distant and aloof.
I feel like that's more robot than anything.
That's why I said I think sometimes I know more about robots than you.
Either way, I was swinging a miss, but curbbot spitting facts in the most literal sense. Thanks, weed guy. Can we say weed on here or we get demonetized?
I mean, at one point we were sponsored by a feed company, so.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're all right.
Hell yeah.
You guys weren't here for the Gramco days.
No, we were not.
I was watching them for it, but I wasn't here. Good times.
Great times. We just got done to, 3:30, the whole schedule. Guaranteed Texas and Alabama night game.
Oh, for sure. I mean, those guaranteed. Those are absolute guarantees.
100% 7:30.
It does. It makes you wonder what the Ole Miss one's going to be.
I was going to say, does that one end up being a noon game?
Because there's a revenge factor to it. It's probably going to be two top 15 teams. You have to imagine Ole Miss is somewhere in there.
To give you a good guesstimation on that one, I would have to see what the other SEC slated games are that week.
That's the determining factor.
And they're going to flex those big games.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if we see Austin Simmons ball out all the way up until that game, that's probably going to be a night game.
Dude, I'll tell you what. Black Friday is loaded up. I didn't realize Texas and Texas A&M got moved to it.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see black jerseys this year too.
Oh, yeah.
I'll let y'all handle that one. I'm sitting that one out.
But
got scorned by that.
You know what? I'll ride that train for you this year. You ain't even got to worry about
it. Watch, because then they'll fucking do bullets. It. Then they'll do it.
Well, we'll just rotate, and then whoever hits it, they're the king champ that year.
Mm. That's actually not a bad strategy.
And we'll just rotate it. So you got 26. Deal?
Yeah.
You want to go ahead and deliver the take of, hey, they're wearing black jerseys in 2026.
Against Georgia Tech on the road in 26.
2026, black jerseys for Georgia.
It's happening.
They'll be in Athens first. In 2026.
25 is me, 26 is you. Hell yeah.
How do we feel about a Black Friday kick?
Honestly, after last year, kind of liked it. I didn't like the environment.
I liked it.
The environment sucked. Like,
look, our whole entire opinion on that, at least for me, is selfish. It's all about me. I like when they play on Friday because I get to sit at home on Saturday and be a fiend like the rest of you.
And that's one of the best Saturdays to be able to sit down and watch the entire day.
And do nothing.
Yeah. You got leftovers.
But seeing like it's Friday in Athens,
and we have
that
a
just didn't
very
hit right.
Unique leg up on every other male on the planet that doesn't do this job. Honey, it's work.
Yeah.
I have to. Honey, it's my job. I have to sit here and watch 19 hours of college football back to back to back. I have to. It's my job. We can't pay the bills if I don't.
And yes, this 24 rack is also part of it. So leave me alone.
This beer helps me do my job.
This lubricant right here.
Got to take the edge off, all right?
I have to focus on the game.
I got a 16-leg parlay going on right now. And if Thomas Castellanos doesn't get this touchdown, I'm cooked.
If you're putting bread on Thomas Castellanos, call the number. Call the number.
1-800-GAMBLER.
I'll do
right
it for you
now.
Right now. Don't you dare be doing that.
Did Georgia almost get Ryan Williams and Jeremiah Smith?
You
want to
do this? I want to do something else first because we just got done talking about the schedule.
Do that.
Did y'all see this from Urban Meyer?
Well, yes, I watched
it. Oh, my.
I watched it. And
look.
Man.
I said it at the top of the local hour. I do not like taking shots at other shows because I wouldn't do it if we were the biggest show on the internet, but we're a growing show and we get things wrong sometimes. And there's certainly opportunities to point a finger at us. Look at these idiots. They don't know what they're talking about. However, when you are taking time out of your scheduled show to have a segment about predicting the wins and losses of a very prominent football program like the University of Georgia, and you claim to say, while laughing at their schedule, that they have 9 home games, when in reality they only have 7 because you don't understand or fail to remember the fact that the Florida game, Urban Meyer, who coached at Florida, is always a neutral site game, and you don't realize that the Georgia Tech game this year is a neutral site game, and then you sit there and you say, Georgia's only playing 3 real road games this year, Georgia's only playing 9 home games, and you're wrong. That's one thing. The other thing that made me just like comically laugh about why you got to know a little bit more. Like, for example, when Mark Ingram, who is obviously trying to do his best Pat McAfee impersonation by all accounts watching that clip today, Mark Ingram sits there and says that Georgia has a quarterback competition, which if you actually knew anything about Georgia football, you know that they don't. It's very clear that they don't, that Gunnar Stockton is their guy, first and foremost. But then you start talking about how they have a quarterback competition coach between Gunnar Stockton and, looks down at notes, Ryan doesn't know how to say the last name, so calls him Ryan P, and then proceeds to say, coach, if you got two quarterbacks, what you got? You got none. How is that analysis about, again, this ain't him talking about Marshall. This ain't him talking about fucking Kentucky. It's him talking about Georgia. It's weird. Congrats on the success on the pod, though. It's tripled, quadrupled, 100-tenths our numbers. Congrats on the audience. Probably not deserved. Sorry.
Also forgetting the fact that...
Jealousy. I'm jealous. That's it. I'm just a jealous, sorry dude who's got a small podcast. That's it. That's why I'm mad about that. I'm just jealous.
We have more subscribers than them. Anyways.
Do we?
This got really intense.
Hell yeah.
Anyway, and also forgetting the fact that the only reason why Georgia has this many home games this year is because they didn't last year. Like, we're forgetting the fact that they had to go on the road against Alabama, Texas, and Ole Miss. I mean, Kirby Smart made it very well known after the SEC title game. So, we're also forgetting the fact that schedules just flip-flop.
Also, what a shitty-ass schedule that has five preseason top 25 opponents on it.
I thought the funniest part was Urban Meyer was sitting there acting like Kirby handpicked this schedule. He's like, how do you make a good football team? Scheduling. Kirby Smart did a good job scheduling this year. Well, it wasn't up to Kirby Smart to make this schedule. He didn't pick this schedule.
Yeah, this has got to be probably the most embarrassing and humiliating thing that's ever happened to Urban Meyer in front of a camera.
Probably right.
Big thumbs up on that one.
Make sure
Ryan Williams,
thumbs up on the video, by the way. We need some likes.
Ryan Williams, Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah, supposedly.
Did we write an article on this?
We did.
We wrote two, actually.
Into
this. Unbeknowingly.
Clickbaiting.
I woke up this morning and thought,
Bill's got to get paid.
Yeah, double. We try it again. We'll see if they'll read it again.
I deleted mine. Jay will beat me to it.
Beat me to the punch by 12 hours.
So explain what happened.
There was an interview with both Jeremiah Smith and Ryan Williams, considering that they were the cover athletes on this year's College Football 26 game. And Jeremiah Smith proceeds to say that on a visit to Georgia, both of them were there, they had talked about teaming up with one another, and some people interpreted as, oh, they had talked about teaming up together at Georgia. I think they were just speaking in broad standard.
Well, technically true. They were at Georgia on a visit and talked about potentially teaming up.
Yeah.
But not at Georgia.
They never said we was almost dogs.
No.
And which, they even, and
which
it was,
by the way, I think of either of the two, the only one they really had somewhat of a smidgen of a chance with is Jeremiah Smith.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, it wasn't even like they were also like really, really toying with the notion of playing together. If you watch the clip, Jeremiah Smith or Ryan Williams was like, I told him, I was like, let's be teammates. And Jeremiah Smith goes, but we thought about it. And that was literally the extent of the clip.
Well, if you were to sign Ryan Williams and Jeremiah Smith, that might be the only two players you sign in that entire recruiting class, because that would have been Moy DeNiro.
Might have been the only two.
And Ryan reclassed.
Oh, yeah.
Remember? 17-year-old.
Oh, yeah. He's 17 years old. Did you know that, Kirby?
Yeah. It was 18 now, I think. Gotta be.
We'll find out.
We will.
We will definitely find
forever.
Out.
First 18-year-old sophomore to catch a touchdown pass. No way they run it, right? They're going to run the graphic. I bet the first PA, the first jackass in a television truck puts that up on the board when they're playing like Mercer to start the season. Well, no, they play Florida State to start the season. But someone's going to put 18-year-old sophomore on the bottom of that just to troll. First 18-year-old sophomore to have a reception prior to his 19th birthday.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I would honestly do it. Can't be mad at having some fun in the truck. What are you reading?
What are we bitching about?
I don't know. I thought we were having fun.
Yeah.
I was laughing.
Are we bitching about Urban not being
no,
smart?
No, no. This Drew the Longhorn guy. He likes to stir things up. He's good. He's a good little
He's good in the chat.
Nice troll.
We love a good troll.
I like him, dude. He's funny. He can stay. There's some more wheel spins if you want.
Do we have nostalgic? We don't have any nostalgic tape today.
I think we already went through all of our tape.
We've watched two tapes already.
Three, if you count National Hour.
We can preview what's going on next month.
What is going on next
month? I'm going out to L.A.
Oh, yeah.
For the Little Oven. By my lonesome. We're going to do shows from Hotel Mimosa. Or I did it again. Hotel Hermosa.
Got permission?
I did.
Oh, that's got permission. So they remembered you.
So no security guard gonna interrupt my show this year. At least this time I could tell him, hey, talk to your boss, Big Dog, because I already did.
Take it up with you. Can do that live on air?
Well, no. We won't be live this year. We're going to pre-record, remember?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the only thing I've ever pre-recorded. They want to watch Justice Fitzpatrick tape.
I can pull that up.
We can ad-lib until then. What else? Oh, I know what we can do. No, dump that. Georgia's got a massive baseball regional tomorrow that I'll be in attendance for. Let's talk about that. They play Binghamton tomorrow.
Binghamton.
The minus six or plus 6,000 underdog to win this Athens regional is Binghamton.
Yes, it is.
Don't even know what conference they won, but congratulations to them for winning their conference and getting this automatic
bid. I like the coach.
Huh?
I'm a big fan of their coach.
Yeah, give me the quote from the coach.
I'd rather be gritty than pretty.
Ooh, print the shirts.
Sign me up.
Repeat one more time. I'd rather be gritty than pretty.
Yeah, I think the actual quote is, I'd rather it be gritty than pretty.
Who is both gritty and pretty?
Justin Jefferson.
The president?
That's good. That's good.
Just off the top of the head. The president.
That's really impressive right there.
That was a joke.
Let me think of a real answer now. I don't know. Like no flash guy that's also Tom Brady.
Yeah, I wouldn't call him gritty.
I wouldn't call him like exponentially like talented though.
Oh, Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
You think he's pretty?
I do.
He's a handsome lad.
He's handsome. He pulls. Handsome.
Good for you.
He pulls. Brock Bowers? I wouldn't call him pretty.
My sister loves Brock Bowers, dude.
Well, you know, success does a lot to people.
What are you saying about my sister, dude? What? Calling her a gold digger?
I mean, I just don't think Brock would want to be on the front of Maxim.
No, he would not. Brock doesn't want to be in front of a camera after the game ends.
Mm.
All right, I've got
what?
The rest of the baseball tournament, though.
Yeah, Duke, I was about Duke's to say. This one? Duke is also in this. Oklahoma State is also in. There's actually an interesting stat going into this. Georgia obviously leads college baseball in home runs. I can't remember the exact number that they have.
Like 138.
But there's going to be some fireworks this weekend probably because Duke is the only team that is inside the top 50 for ERA for teams. Everybody else is outside the top 50 heading into this one. So
we're going to see some runs.
Yeah, you're going to see the long ball.
The trees will be fed.
And you're going to see yours truly there tomorrow.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. So I'll be in attendance. We'll take some photos of them down.
Get your reps in. Yeah. Go ahead and get the nooner in. Get your reps.
Yeah, we're gonna show up about 11 o'clock.
Sick.
Yeah. So come say what's up if you're in town. I think I'm good. Y'all good? Yeah.
Before we go, I'm gonna ask the would you rather.
Okay.
Would you rather have a full season of George Pickens or three games of 1982 Herschel Walker? That's there he won the Heisman.
Oh, I'd want Herschel just so I can compare.
That's
Herschel would have been great no matter what. Don't confuse this, okay? Don't call me crazy here. But Herschel Walker was 230 pounds and ran 4.4 in an era of football where defensive tackles were 260 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's a different era for sure.
I would have just liked to have seen it. Again, would have been great. Would have been great no matter what because he's 230 pounds and ran sub 4.4. Would have mm-hmm. been great. Just would have liked to have seen it.
That is an interesting point I didn't even think about.
It would be like from the aspect of I get to watch prime Herschel Walker live and in person.
Yeah.
But then what if it's like he doesn't go for 200 yards on 35 carries and it's like,
he would go for 185. He wouldn't be doing 270s. But he'd still win the Heisman. He'd still be the first running back off the board. He'd still be great. He'd still be an All-American. He'd still be a Hall-of-Famer. He'd still have his jersey retired. I just don't think it would look like, holy shit, look at that. It still would. Would he wear the Central Bar face mask?
I hope so.
Oh, yeah, you get
copy-paste.
You get the full
rip-away, tear-away jersey and everything.
The full experience.
Yeah. You know, we need to patch in Marion Campbell right now. Just zoom him in.
Marion Campbell saw him a bunch of times.
Yeah, and just zoom him in and say, Marion, would Jalen Carter eat his lunch?
I would honestly, though, for the longevity of an entire season, I'd go George Pickens.
Yeah, I mean, both of them are projections and things we would never see. So
that's
I mean, George hadn't played a full NFL season.
At least that's adding George into the wide receiver room would make you be like, wide receiver room probably going to be okay.
Well, it's also like you need to win. There's more than three games on your schedule this year you need to win. Like, if you're saving Herschel Walker for the playoffs, that's fine. But, I mean, you still got to beat Alabama. Like, you're not guaranteed to make the playoffs this year. It's a tough slate. We think you're going to make it. You have a pretty good chance to make it. You should make it, but.
Oh, Marion Campbell agrees with me. Different times.
Well, I mean, you're absolutely right.
So Nick Chubb was better?
I'm not disagreeing or agreeing with that. Different times, different eras. Can't measure them up. It's like Jordan and LeBron.
Fair statement.
Appreciate you guys being here. We love you. We'll see you on Monday. Bye.